I'm your host, Pastor Shayo, Whitney Shayo's husband.
And here we like to give tips that are very easy to do, but also remind you about the ones that are easy not to do.
We just give awesome.
Or easy to not
we
do,
We give awesome tips, right?
Yes.
We give awesome tips.
So, a lot of times in marriage, we lose sight of the big picture, and we forget that it's the little things that build up. So here, we just want to share some of those tips that are easy to do, but yet, unfortunately, they're easy not to do.
I like your big picture.
You like the... Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yes.
Yes.
And folks, you can always reach out to us on Twitter. I'm at Whitney Shayo.
And I'm at Pastor Shayo.
You can find us on Facebook, so you can always stay up to date with the latest blog posts.
Yes. And also you can find us at liveyourbestmarriage.com/blog.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Of course.
Yes.
And what are we talking about today, Whitney?
So today I wanted to talk about attacking the problem.
Whoa, attacking the problem?
Mm-hmm. Yes. A lot of times in marriage.
That sounds intense.
When it is intense because.
Attacking the problem.
When we experience trouble, we tend to focus more on blaming and we put more of our focus on the character of our spouse.
Yes.
And we wonder, okay, why are they messing up?
Why are they messing up?
But if we focus on attacking the problem itself,
yes,
instead of attacking one another.
So the problem is outside us. And
right.
We are dealing with the problem,
right?
But we are not dealing with each other. We are not attacking each other as people.
Absolutely.
Whoa, that's deep.
Which is kind of, sometimes it can be difficult to do.
Yes.
Because when something is said or done that is offensive or upsetting, my first question is, okay, why?
Why did he do that?
Why? But it makes sense, though, if we view our marriage as two people who are united and we're attacking an issue that has come to us, or we're attacking a problem that is on the outside, then
okay,
something that's trying to come between us, it's a lot easier to deal with it. And so it might require removing some of the emotions, taking some of the emotion out of it and view it objectively.
That is just a problem,
yeah,
that we can deal with.
Yeah. If I view it as, okay, this is something that came up. This is a mistake. It happened. How can we fix this?
Which is much better than, why is she acting so weird?
Yeah. If I go to my usual, ugh, why does he always do this? Why does he, like, what is up with that?
Mm-hmm. Because when you say that, now it becomes, mm-hmm, it's him who's wrong.
Yeah, then my husband becomes the problem.
So how far can we take this? Is this right to deal with this? Like, all the problems, can we deal with them this way? Or some problems are like, there's something wrong with him. Or, like, how do we deal with it?
I think, well, for now, I just want to focus on those little everyday things that come up.
Mm-hmm.
It can be someone was irritated. There was, dishes were left in the sink.
Yes.
Or, because what's crazy in marriage is those little things can accumulate, but also they can blow up into something really, really big.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's usually unnecessarily, but something so little can turn into this hurtful argument.
Yes.
And so that's what I'm talking about. I don't want to get into, like, these huge, like, character flaws and all of that. No, I just want to talk about, okay, how did this...
But even when you talk about character flaws, are you saying that the person is defective? The human is defective? Or you're saying there is an issue that we can deal with?
We all make mistakes, but these are issues that
maybe I'm asking, can somebody be defective?
I believe that someone makes mistakes.
But they are not defective.
Because none of us are perfect. Okay. So now that we've established that, these little things, think of an argument that you've had that was blown up into something major, but it started so small.
Give us an example.
It can be anything. It can be our 2-year-old spilled water on the couch, on the sofa. So now we've got this huge thing of water on the cushion, but nobody saw it in time. And so that was something that happened, but that time it didn't turn into a big argument. But we have had issues like that before where somebody forgot something or someone left something the way they weren't supposed to, and it just became like, oh my gosh, why do you do that? Like, why did you screw that up?
Yes.
And so these things can be like very hurtful. It can come as a personal attack.
Yeah.
Like, okay, he or she thinks I'm not competent. We start to take it very personally.
Very personally.
Like there's something wrong with me. But if when something comes up, we're able to just view it as, okay, this is an issue that just came up. Let's deal with this. Let's see how we can solve this.
Okay, let's see how we can solve this issue.
Yeah. So if we can start from there, then that can help the person on the receiving end avoid feeling like there's something wrong with them. Because it's just going to build up from there.
Because if they feel there's something wrong with them, then now we won't be dealing with the issue. We'll be dealing with their feelings and...
Right.
Yes. Which is a totally different thing.
Right. But like we said from the get-go, we want to take the feelings out of it. We want to view these things objectively. We want to view it as, okay, it's a mistake that happened.
Yes.
It's, you know, oh, someone forgot something or someone did something wrong or cooked a meal the wrong way, burnt the dinner, whatever they did.
Yes.
Yes, it's annoying. We're not saying it isn't annoying.
Yes.
But still, if we're just blowing things up into, you know, catastrophes, it's just, it hurts the person on the other end.
So you want us to see the issue as is, not to overblow it, but at the same time, split the issue from the person and just deal with the issue, not the person.
Yeah, separate the person from the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it can be something as simple it can be like as, what? Let's look at how we can fix this, rather than, oh, he always does that. He makes messes and then he leaves it like that. Or she makes messes and she leaves it like that. She's sloppy. Or he drives the car, uses all the gas, and doesn't fill the tank.
Mm-hmm.
There's a million examples. This is
cause so like all... for example, when the issue of the gas, how should you handle it? It's like he drives the car. We know he did. He drove the car. Or we know she drove the car. And we also know that she did not fill the tank or he did not fill the tank.
Yeah.
Okay. So how should you handle that?
So then we start looking for ways to make sure that doesn't happen.
So give me an example.
So you can just start troubleshooting the issue. Like, okay,
troubleshoot.
Should we have a specific day of the week where... one of us goes and fills up the car with gas.
Okay.
Or should we have this agreement in our house where whoever drives it and it's on empty goes and fills it.
Okay.
Whatever. I mean, there's so many different ways that it can be solved. But if your complaining turns into a criticism towards the person, like, oh my goodness, you just screw up every time. You enjoy using the car, but when I need to go somewhere, I have to take the extra time to go and put in the gas and blah, 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 blah. You're inconsiderate.
Yes.
And all those types of things.
Yes.
The complaint just turned into a criticism because you started attacking
the person.
The person.
Instead of saying, you know what, I will go and get more gas, or go right now and get some gas.
Yeah, just basically instead of looking for ways to make sure that doesn't happen anymore, mm-hmm. or just fix whatever it is.
Like right now, go and fill the gas.
Yeah.
And I know this sounds like we're trying to find a way to bring some of this idea to life, because we can be all abstract, but some folks want to hear it, like, because these problems, we go through them every day.
Because there's a million examples of these things in real life. It's if a husband or a wife is constantly leaving dirty towels on the bathroom floor, a complaint would be, okay, can you please not do that? A criticism is, you are a slob. Why do you do that? Does that make sense? I mean, that's...
And what, to if, me, you that's feel, not, what if you feel like they're really a slob and they need to quit it?
Because viewing them as a slob, you're focusing more on blaming and attacking their character. But if this is someone that you've promised to love for the rest of your life, why would you even... How is that even enjoyable for you?
It's not.
Honestly, to me, that's not abstract. To me, it's like, okay, either I'm looking at this as a problem, or I'm implying that my spouse is a problem.
Yes.
To me, it's like, it's pretty black and white, actually, because a complaint is very, very different than a criticism.
A criticism, yeah.
Yeah. Complaining just talks about the issue specifically.
Over and over and over.
But criticism is when you actually start attacking the person.
A person's character. Yeah.
Like you basically attach the mistake to them. It's not just something they did or something they said. Or it's not just a problem that you guys are facing as a couple. It's like, okay, this person is screwed up and I'm really sick and tired of just constantly all the crap they do.
So what if somebody says, you know, hey, you guys are putting too much attention to this thing, mm-hmm. and it's not that of a big deal. What would you say?
Mm-hmm. I would say it is a huge deal, because actually, Dr. Gottman, who did all of the marriage research.
Can you remind us what he said?
What
is he known for?
His marriage research.
Okay.
And he wrote
about what?
Several books. And so he can predict divorce with like a 91% accuracy.
Wow.
And so just by hearing a couple talk, by listening to their conversation, he can tell whether or not they'll get divorced, and because of the four horsemen. So
four horsemen?
Yeah.
Which one are they?
So criticism,
mm-hmm.
complaint,
mm-hmm.
and contempt.
Contempt. And what else? Resentment? I don't know.
So he made it very clear that if you lean more towards criticizing and attacking their character instead of just you state a complaint.
Yes.
You can, there's nothing wrong with saying that you're unhappy about something or that you're not pleased with something. Totally, totally okay.
Okay.
Totally okay.
But
once you start slamming the person, the individual, then
not okay.
That's actually, he makes it very clear that is one of the issues that leads to divorce. So
okay.
Yeah.
So basically you're saying this is a big deal, and mm-hmm. it's a deal that should be taken seriously. Mm-hmm. And yeah. The fact that somebody might be ignoring
mm-hmm.
the fact that somebody might be ignoring it,
mm-hmm.
they don't know what they are getting themselves into.
Yeah. So, actually, just to make a quick correction, the four horsemen that Dr. Gottman talks about are stonewalling, defensiveness, criticism, and contempt.
Okay, stonewalling, defensiveness, criticism, and something else, contempt.
Yeah.
Yes.
So contempt is when one spouse thinks they're superior to the other and that the other one is just hopelessly flawed.
Yeah.
And so he said contempt was the worst of all of them.
And what can you give us an example of contempt?
Okay. So here, I just went to the blog for Dr. Gottman, and there's an example of contempt. One spouse says to the other, "You're tired? Cry me a river. I've been with the kids all day, running around like mad to keep this house going, and all you do when you come home from work is flop down on that sofa like a child and play those idiotic computer games. I don't have time to deal with another kid. Try. Huh. Pathetic." So, yeah. Wow. I've never read that one before. That was... That is a very intense example of contempt. So it sounds like a wife was insulting her husband for complaining to be tired.
Mm-hmm.
But the way she expressed it, though, came out as he is beneath her.
Mm-hmm.
So that's contempt.
So is it the same as criticism?
No, well...
When you're criticizing somebody, was she criticizing him, or it's way past criticizing?
It's beyond that. It's way worse.
What is it when you criticize them?
They're saying that if you're overly critical of your spouse, that will eventually lead to contempt.
Like what? Give an example.
So, an example they give of a complaint is, "I was scared when you were running late and didn't call me. I thought we had agreed that we would do that for each other."
So that's good.
So that's the good one. So a criticism is, "You never think about how your behavior is affecting other people. I don't believe that you're that forgetful. You're just selfish. You never think of others, and you never think of me." So you can see the difference.
I've had that one somewhere.
So you can not from me. So you can tell that the complaint was directed towards the issue they were dealing with. The complaint was, okay, they expressed how it made them feel,
mm-hmm.
and they expressed their disappointment.
Yes.
But in the criticism, they didn't even really do a good job of expressing how it made them feel. I mean, you can tell they're upset, obviously.
Yes.
But they mostly were just expressing, like, hey, there's something wrong with you. Your behavior is really crappy, and you're inconsiderate of other people.
And basically, they're even telling them what they think.
Yes. They said, "You never think of others." So...
Because nobody will know mm-hmm. how you think.
Mm-hmm.
Except for you. They just mm-hmm. see the actions.
Yes.
Yes. The outcome of your thinking. But the fact that was the outcome does not mean that's how... The fact that you can see the outcome does not mean you know what the mm-hmm. thought process was.
Yes. So the person on the receiving end of a criticism will feel rejected. They'll feel hurt. They'll feel like they're not being treated fairly.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just will continue the cycle of problems.
Yes.
It'll just create more problems rather than solving.
Okay. And so the best thing is to complain, not to criticize,
mm-hmm.
to deal with the problem, not
Mm-hmm.
Criticize a person?
Right, right, right. It's, you would rather attack the problem, because if you attack the person, it's just going to become this ongoing thing that continues to escalate.
Yes.
It's harder to reach a solution, but also it's just something that will keep going and going.
And going and going, yes.
Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things, one of the hardest things to do in marriage is to remember that we're on the same team. And that's especially when we're feeling upset.
Yeah.
It's if there's, because obviously that's the whole nature of a problem. When our spouse says something or does something upsetting, it can even make us think we're not on the same team.
Yeah.
It's as though we're against one another. But there are so many mistakes and things that are done unintentionally.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously none of us are perfect to begin with. So it's just, it is something that will inevitably happen.
Yeah.
So if we can just keep in mind that, hey, we are on the same team, we're together.
Yes.
And if we can come together as a couple and just, number one, look at the problem, and then two, think of ways to solve it.
And so this, you brought up an issue that when we are having an argument, it's hard to remember that we're on the same team.
Right.
Do you think, like, as humans, mm-hmm. it's hard, like, is it like something that is inborn in us as humans, that mm-hmm. we are selfish and we only think about us
mm-hmm.
as individuals? We don't think as we're in the same team, and when we are having an argument, we just fall back to that.
Yeah.
That we are individuals.
Yes.
And can we learn to think of ourselves as a team at yes. all times?
Yeah, that's one of the things that makes marriage so difficult, is we always go back to, okay, what do I want? What's yes. best for me?
Mm-hmm.
And there's that selfish nature. And so marriage is a challenge because it's not self-seeking. Marriage is not something that we do to make ourselves happy. We get married to make the other person awesome. Happy.
So say that again. We get married to make the other person happy.
Right. We're there to serve the person we married. And then obviously things go well when both people are doing that. When both of us are trying to just be giving yeah. to the other. And we're in sync, and it's just this nice synergistic way of working together as a team. But again, the challenge in it is, oh, I forgot, I'm selfish. I want things that I want. I want to do the things that I like. I want my way, because my way is the best. So that's where it, but yes, I do think it is possible to always keep in mind that you're a team and you're on the same team. Yeah, definitely.
So, yes. So we are as a team mm-hmm. and we just need to remember that. Easier yeah. said, but.
Yeah, easier said than done. But yeah, that's, I'm really glad you brought that up, because we all have that selfish nature. It's always, okay, well, what's in it for me?
Mm-hmm.
There's always that. And because we like to look out for number one, which is
our spouse,
which is ourself.
So. Oh man, I thought it was our spouse.
Yeah.
I thought and you were here to look out for me.
That's how it's supposed to be. And when we experience relationship trouble, there's this natural inclination to see the other person as the problem.
Now,
or at least they're the source of the problems.
Now, when you look at teams like maybe firefighters
mm-hmm.
or like people whose other people's lives depend on them, like surgeons and all these people,
mm-hmm.
they have to work as a team to make everything work,
mm-hmm.
like to do that rescue, that high,
mm-hmm.
High stake rescue.
Mm-hmm.
So these are in people who are not even married.
Mm-hmm.
They just came together, or like a football team or whatever. Mm-hmm. They just came together and they're able to execute as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that they're able to put out away their personal goals or something
mm-hmm.
for the greater good of the team. And you can even see people putting themselves at a very high risk,
mm-hmm.
walking on a tightrope just to go and save somebody,
mm-hmm.
putting themselves in so much risk just to be able to save the other person.
Mm-hmm.
What can we learn from that and apply that in marriages? So mm-hmm. that we can have that success in our marriages.
Mm-hmm. Those are all really great examples of sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And they go into that line of work knowing that they're on a mission
mm-hmm.
and that they're there to serve and they're there to help.
Yes.
And so, and I think that's a really, really great model to mm-hmm. look after for marriage, because you can view it as, okay, I'm on a mission to serve the person I married. And I know that that might not come out the way that I mean it to, and it might not even sound good when I say it.
It sounds good.
But
sounds good to me.
It works the best when both people are doing that, when both people have that same attitude of, okay, I'm willing to sacrifice my own happiness because I care so much more about the person I married than I care about myself.
Yeah.
It's that, I think the word sacrifice is really what we're looking for here. And so, yeah, all those examples you gave us, the surgeons, the firefighters, and all of those are really fantastic examples that we can look to, because they do those things for total strangers.
Yes.
And if we can do that for the person that we promised to love for the rest of our lives, I mean, I would think that it would be something that we would look forward to doing.
And when we say doing those things, we mean working as a team mm-hmm. and also delivering, mm-hmm. like putting their lives in
mm-hmm.
line,
mm-hmm.
So like for the firefighters and stuff, like mm-hmm. the policemen.
So putting their needs above your own.
Yeah, putting the other people's need mm-hmm. above their own. And they're doing this for strangers and having to work as a team. So if it's the military, they have to work as a team. But they're doing this, they're working as a team with a bunch of strangers. Okay, friends, but they're literally, they're just going there to do a job.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to execute as a team and put their, sometimes their own lives on the line
mm-hmm.
for this greater good.
Mm-hmm.
And doing that, they're able to achieve what they set out to, or maybe they might even lose their lives.
Mm-hmm.
We can learn a lot from them and use that in our marriages too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So just being able to keep in mind that, okay, the reason why I'm even in the same room with this person, the reason why I'm even married to this person, is I'm here to put their needs before mine.
Yes.
I'm here to try to just, I want to bring happiness to them. It's not about bringing happiness to myself.
Yes.
And again, that might not even sound good, but when you really, really, really do love someone and care for someone, just think of the way that you would do that for your child.
Yeah.
You just feel it, even if the child doesn't give you anything in return, you would do it all again. You would still just give to them everything wholeheartedly. Yeah.
That's why you wake up at 3 a.m. to mm-hmm. change a diaper.
Right.
She's mm-hmm. she's not giving you anything mm-hmm. in return other than maybe smiles at you. But it feels like
mm-hmm.
you have to, like, it feels like the relationship mm-hmm. is so one-sided.
Yeah, but it's so funny, though. Yeah, even if she doesn't give me anything in return other than just being my cute little angel,
mm-hmm.
I just want to do things for her.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Yeah. You're doing things for her, And you don't even mind, you don't even think twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're mm-hmm. like, you know what, I'm tired. And if it was for somebody else, I would be like, there is no way I'm going to that meeting at 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way I'll be answering that phone call mm-hmm. at that time in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But for your child, you're like, oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
What do you need?
So I think with a child, that we don't even have to remind ourselves. Mm-hmm. We just know, okay, I'm here to take care of her.
Yes.
I'm here. Yeah, you want to, and you never forget.
Oh, but you never.
In marriage, I think a lot of times it is easier to forget why we're even together in the first place.
And sometimes I think because there's so much divorce,
mm-hmm.
We don't want to put ourselves on the line.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to put ourselves in the line because we know any time we might get a divorce.
Right.
So while for our child, we feel like, you know,
mm-hmm.
she's my child. She's always going to be my child. So
mm-hmm.
I don't mind. But with that analogy of firefighters and police or military folks, you can see they're putting their lives on the line.
Mm-hmm.
They're just putting a lot on the line for people they don't even know.
Yes, yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
So folks, just to recap, if we view the problem simply as a problem, instead of viewing our spouse as the source of our problems, it's going to be a lot easier to get along. And so we just wanted to encourage you guys to just look at the issue at hand and then think of ways to solve it.
And also,
and mm-hmm. shift our focus away from blame.
Yes. And also, although working as a team might not feel, might not come as natural as thinking about what's in here for me,
mm-hmm.
that is the best way to tackle these situations, where you look at the problem as a team, mm-hmm. you and your spouse as a team, and it's you against that problem. It's you against the world. That really makes it easier. Okay, folks, we really enjoyed presenting this podcast, and we appreciate the comments that we are getting on Twitter. Please go forward to iTunes and like this podcast, the Live Your Best Marriage podcast, so that you never have to miss any. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't have to miss any of our broadcast. So, folks, until next time, bye and God bless.
Are you tired of being upset, lonely, feeling empty, or just plain frustrated with your marriage? And no matter how hard you try, you're not getting anywhere, just going in circles? No matter how much you try to make time for one another in your schedule, or how many times you say, I'm sorry? Pesa and I have put together 99 ideas to help you connect with that one special person, so that things can start to be more like the way they were before everyday life got in the way and caused the two of you to drift apart. We want you to have 99 ways to show love to your spouse absolutely free. You can find it at 99waystoshowlovetoyourspouse.com. Because here at Live Your Best Marriage, we truly hope that the two of you can move closer together and enjoy the connection that comes from achieving a stronger bond. Again, that's 99waystoshowlovetoyourspouse.com. That's the number 99waystoshowlovetoyourspouse.com.